Thank you all for joining us here at I-80 Sports, where today we're recapping the NHL draft as well as previewing the free agency period that is coming up very, very shortly. Guys, thank you for joining us here at I-80 Sports. Thank you all for joining us here again at I-80 Sports. Make sure you check out our website down below, i80sports.com, for all of our NHL content as well as NFL, MLS, and NCAA football content. We also have NBA content there as well. And make sure you hit us up on Twitter at i80_sportsNHL. We've been getting more and more followers lately. And for those that are already following, thank you guys so much. You guys are awesome as per usual. But guys, It's time to start our show, which, because we are live right now, you can comment down below and join the conversation live during the show. And so far, this guy is the only one right now, but you can also join right now and comment and join our conversation down below. But guys, I'm Brian. He's Tom. Tom, how are you doing today?
Doing well. It's hot, but other than that, doing well.
It is hot today, but it's also a momentous occasion for Tom and I because it is officially a year since we have been doing this. This is our one-year anniversary of being on I-80 Sports, and we're celebrating with you guys tonight. But before we go, we are going to start by talking about the NHL draft. And for those of you that joined us for our draft party on Friday night, thank you guys for checking it out. We had a ton of fun recapping the top 10 picks and reacting to the top 10 picks, but there was a lot more that happened afterwards. And Tom, what did you think of the draft overall on Friday and Saturday?
One of the more interesting drafts I've seen, I got to tell you that. A lot of reaches on a lot of picks, a lot of surprises. I definitely think it was a surprising draft. There were a lot of picks that moved up and down. There were a lot of guys that got taken that I would have never thought would have went in the first round. A lot of guys coming from different places. If you look at what Columbus did, for example, with pick 25, bringing a guy in from the Alberta Junior Hockey League and Corson Coolmans, you don't see that very often. Now, I don't know enough about him, and I'm sorry. I feel like I should have looked it up. I'm wondering if he's another one of those Canadian guys who basically is foregoing Major Junior to go play NCAA. Let me see if I can look it up real quick and find out, because you are seeing that with a lot of those guys, but I don't ever remember seeing anybody go. No, guys have gone in the first round, but I'm curious as to that, because those guys are usually coming out of that British Columbia, usually coming out of the British Columbia Junior League. A lot of guys like Morgan Barron and whatnot, and Alex Newhook, guys from Atlantic Canada, somehow wind up halfway across the country. Yeah, he's going to Wisconsin next year, so that makes sense. That actually makes sense.
It does make a lot of sense. But the draft itself, we had a lot of winners and losers throughout. So to recap our draft, we're going to talk about who we felt were winners and losers throughout this draft. We're going to talk about winners first. Tom, who stuck out to you? Like, you don't have a limit on teams. It doesn't just have to be one team. But who do you sticks out to you as winners of this draft? Who comes out looking stronger? Whose prospect pool comes out looking stronger?
Well, I hate to say it. I kind of like what your Devils did. They brought Luke Hughes in, and the other kid they drafted here, Chase Stillman. What do you know about him? Because I'm looking at it here, and it looks like he played in a Danish junior league last year. I'm sure he may have been on loan, but curious to your thoughts. What do you know about him? I'm looking at him here, and I'm very curious.
So I'm glad you asked that. So Chase Stillman, for those who don't know, for those of you older hockey fans, he is actually the son of former St. Louis Blues legend Corey Stillman, former Stanley Cup winner Corey Stillman. And one thing to think about with Chase Stillman in terms of, comparison in terms of game, currently on the New Jersey Devils, a lot of Devils fans are going to like this. I think about him very much like Miles Wood. He's got a lot of up and down speed. He's a crash in that first type of player and scores a lot of garbage goals. He is the type of person who's got a lot of foot speed and also backs it up with tenacity. You go and watch and find, like, actively seek out some highlight tapes of Chase Stillman. Within 10 minutes, you are going to love what you see. Because at first, when they drafted Chase Stillman, my first thought was, who? And then I actually started to look and research, and the more and more I thought about it, the more and more I really, really liked this pick. The Devils in general, I thought, did a really, really good job with their draft. They bolstered their prospect pool very, very much so. And Luke Hughes, of course, is a great way to bolster that. And with subsequent moves that have also been made, you don't need to rush his development. He can go to Michigan this year if he wants to and not rush his development. Likewise, he could also, if he really wanted to, go OHL for a year, or, you know, go juniors for a year, whatever he wants to do, so that way he can develop a little bit more. He's a defenseman. He's going to take some time to develop. So if he's not on the Devils in, within the next year and a half, 2 years, Devils fans, don't freak out. Don't hit the panic button, because it's going to take a little while for him to develop. But once he finally develops, we are going to be very, 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 very happy to see the result. Tom, who else stuck out to you as winners?
I really like what Steve Eisman and the Detroit Red Wings did as well. They were able to grab Simon Edvinson at six, and then they were able to move up. They were able to move up here, and they were able to grab Sebastian Coso, who actually Chris Drury was looking at, which I don't know why. Does he not have faith in Igor Shesterkin? I don't know. I don't understand why he's trying to bring another goalie in when you have you basically have a guy who you're going to be with for a few years. So that's what I don't understand a little bit about that. But I did like what Detroit did. They're bolstering, you know, they bolstered their D and their goaltending prospects. You know, all Detroit needs, they just need that big splash. And they need that big splash top of the line forward who hopefully they can get over the next 2 years. And then that team will be complete and be able to go back to the Detroit Red Wings that we grew up watching. Fingers crossed for them at least. And our friend Bex over there and across the pond in England.
Yeah, and I know she loved the picks over on her side. I was talking to her a little bit. And beyond that, the one I'm really raving about is the Sebastian Coso pick. And actually, I think he and Jesper Wallstedt were the standout goaltending prospects. It does surprise me that Coso went first when Steve Yzerman still had Jesper Wallstedt still on the board. Wallstedt eventually went number 20 to the Minnesota Wild, who traded up to get him. And it surprises me that Coso went first, but you go and watch his game. He is a very, very, very good goalie talent. Whether that translates to the NHL level, it's left to be seen. It's always a risk to take a goaltender in the first round, but we have been seeing more goaltenders picked in the first round than not lately. So it's left to be seen what ends up happening there. I really liked what Detroit did. On the flip side also, another team that I really liked their draft was the New York Islanders. Talk about working with what you had. You know, in the second round, they managed to pick Atu Ratu. And for those who don't know, Atu Ratu was the consensus number one overall pick last year. And since then, he steadily declined, got picked number 52 by the New York Islanders. Now, normally, I'd be looking at a pick like this and saying, that's a risky pick. I don't know if this is really going to pan out. But in the second round of the draft, if he slips to you that far, you got nothing left to lose at that point. You're getting a high-risk, high-reward style of prospect in the second round. That's almost no risk at that point. Tom, how do you feel about that pick?
Fell down into the second round. As far as where he's going to go, I'm not sure. I mean, the guy has declined and declined and declined, and I'm just not even sure he'll ever see the NHL. He may be another, and God, I hate to say this, another Pavel Brendel. And if you guys don't know who that was another highly touted European prospect, really tore it up in Canadian juniors, and then was never able to do a thing in the NHL.
Yeah. The last two drafts that I will say I liked were the Arizona Coyotes, just purely because they managed to get back up into the first round and made a quality pick with Dylan Gunther. And the fact that they lucked into him was crazy to me. Yeah, Arizona absolutely won that draft because of that. And also, the other draft I really liked was Columbus. Columbus getting Kent Johnson at number five. You know, though a dark horse type of pick, I don't think they're going to regret it. He has, as I said on Friday night, some of the best hands you will ever see. It's awesome to watch. But there are winners, there are losers. Tom, who are your losers in this draft?
Well, the obvious one is the Montreal Canadiens. I don't know what the hell was going through Bergevin's head making that pick. That doesn't make a lick of sense to me. Zero sense on my end. I don't know what he was.
Now, why don't you give us a little bit of context to that terrible pick there, Tom?
Well, Logan Mailloux got himself in a little bit of trouble. I won't go into depth on what kind of trouble he got himself into while he was in loan over in Europe this past year because Canadian just were shut down. Went out and said, I'm withdrawing myself from the draft. Please don't draft me. I don't want any bad publicity. Mark Bergevin went out and drafted him anyway. I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know what he was thinking. Zero sense here. But then again, the Montreal Canadiens are a team that's it's starting to make less and less sense to me with letting Shea Weber sit out this season, playing with Carey Price, saying, "Oh yeah, we're gonna let you go, we're gonna let you go," and then obviously he wasn't let go. So yeah, that kind of made zero sense to me.
It's a franchise that's making less and less sense by the day for me. I don't get it. I really do not understand that pick. And Montreal, first of all, if you have to try to justify a pick on social media, you know you messed up. Like, plain and simple, you know you messed up if you have to justify on social media why you made a certain selection. That's number one. Number two, I agree. Montreal has a lot of redeeming to do over this summer. They've got a lot on their plate at the current moment. Mark Bergevin has to take a long look in the mirror of the shape of this team and what he wants it to become, and think about the overall character of this team as well. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens, but not a good look so far. Really not a good look so far by Montreal. Who else stood out to you as losers of this draft, Tom?
Well, I didn't particularly like the pick my favorite team made, the Rangers. I was not big on that Brennan Othman pick. I don't understand what the onus for that was. You have three left wingers right now in Panarin, Lafreniere, and Kreider. I don't understand what drafting another left winger is going to do unless they somehow magically plan on trading Chris Kreider with them the next 2 years or getting one of those guys to play on the right side. Also, Brennan Othman, I'm looking at his stats. I'm really not impressed with him. I don't understand. Drury wants to get guys to make the team tougher to play against, but can't you go out in free agency and trades or draft guys like that in later rounds? Now, to say that, I don't know if they were total losers, because the guy they picked in the third round, Ryder Korzak, I actually really like. If Ryder Korzak can get his game together next year and have a really good season out in the WHL, I think Ryder Korzak might be a big steal. But there's still a lot to be said on that.
Yeah, I think we'll see. I didn't hate the Rangers pick, because you're going for quality at that point after a bunch of guys that could have gone in that position were gone. But I'm still a little bit confused as to why they couldn't have traded back. There are other teams that probably would have been looking to draft a guy like Jesper Wallstedt there, maybe Chaz Lucius there. You could have traded back. I don't understand why Chris Drury didn't think that he could trade back in that situation if he was that sold on him. But we're not the GMs in this situation, but I agree. Yeah, Montreal, I didn't like their draft. I didn't particularly like the Rangers draft. Everybody else, though, I didn't hate their draft. Everybody else, I think, had relatively decent drafts, which is kind of crazy to say. We're going to kind of shove something in between here, thinking about like losers at the moment and not a great look. So the Vegas Golden Knights today, we got to talk about this. Because this was breaking news today. Ahead of more breaking news that's going to come tomorrow, because we are going to be flooded with free agency news tomorrow. But we had a trade ahead of the free agency market. The Vegas Golden Knights sent their Vezina Trophy winner, Marc-Andre Fleury, to the Chicago Blackhawks. Full salary for a low-level prospect. For basically nothing. And the bone I have to pick with this is Fleury wasn't even notified prior to being traded. The poor guy had to find out on Twitter that he was dealt. And now Fleury is backed up against the wall from Chicago saying, you know, Chicago Blackhawks going to Fleury and saying, well, you know, you're worth, you know, your contract $7 million. Well, are you going to play here? Or are you going to retire? We kind of want to know so that way, you know, we can use, you know, the money in free agency. Could you just kind of, you know, get back to us by tonight? Which, not an easy decision for a guy that basically has to up and move across the country this summer to play hockey for a different city and up and move his family and isn't sure if he wants to do that. I do not like this move by Vegas. I thought this was a very premature and immature move to make. If you were going to trade him earlier and keep him involved. Though it seems like, according to his agent, that they were expecting something. They haven't heard anything since July 12th. You know, at least 2 weeks. I don't know. I don't like this move at all. Tom, how do you feel about this?
I don't like it at all, and I know you guys have heard me rant on about how Chicago is, you know, too little too late with these moves and trying to retool their squad to become a cup contender again. But you know something? Vegas' MO lately has been they're being like, I don't know how to put it. I want to say they're being too careful, but being careless at the same time. And let me use another example in the short history of the Vegas Golden Knights. As we all remember, they fired Gerard Gallant when the team went on a short 4-game losing streak while they were still in the playoffs. Reason being, Peter DeBoer was available. Peter DeBoer was the guy they wanted. So they let Gallant go so they could get DeBoer. I think it was the same thing here. Fleury was older despite being a Vezina winner. Lehner's a guy they were and still are very high on. So when their minds were going, oh shoot, we're going to lose Lehner for nothing, or he's going to demand a trade out of here, and we're going to be stuck with Fleury when he's too old, or he'll retire on us, and we won't have any goalies, so now we have to ship Fleury out of here. Now, this is a big problem now. I know Vegas is they're very smart in a way, the ownership, because they see what has happened with these southern teams like, for example, Phoenix, for example, Florida, who kind of came out of the gate charging. You know, Phoenix had Tkachuk and Roenick. Were a decent playoff team their first couple of years, gave Detroit a few scares. But then after they lost those guys, they basically, you know, went into a basically virtual anonymity. I'm freaking scrambling my words here. I'm sorry, guys. And, you know, they turned into a team that nobody cared about and probably still nobody cares about down there. Florida, the same thing. They came into the league with all this fanfare. 2 years in, John Van Beesbrook's in net. They play their way. They upset Mario Lemieux. They upset Raymond Bourque. They upset Eric Lindros in the playoffs. They go all the way to the finals against Colorado. They get swept. They make the playoffs again next year, but they lose to the Rangers with Messier and Gretzky. Following year, they're out of the playoffs. They try to bring Bore in to rekindle the team, and then after that, they're just some team that everyone forgot about. So I think what Vegas is doing is looking at those two examples and saying, okay, we can't just sit here and sit back and say everything's going to go well every year, because if we do that, we're going to wind up like them. But at the same time, not showing loyalty to players who have gotten you to that success is a bad look. Because what's going to start happening in Vegas is that a lot of these players who they think that they can attract to go there, and a lot of these superstars who they think they can go out and get, are not going to want to go there. And eventually, they're going to have to go back to square one. They're going to be a team that's not going to be able to get any talent, and they're going to be a team that's going to have to start building through the draft, and a team that's going to be, you know, in last place every year, a team that's going to start to become a destination, away game for fans of teams like the LA Kings and the Montreal Canadiens, and my favorite team, the Rangers, and the aforementioned Chicago Blackhawks. So as much as I like what Vegas has done in terms of, you know, looking at histories of other teams, this is also not a good look. While you can't be like Chicago was and, you know, be extra loyal to guys like Patrick Sharp and Marion Hossa and Duncan Keith, even though they were getting older, despite those guys winning you 3 cups, you can't at the same time just go dump guys off every time you get a little scared. And I don't know if it's them. I don't know if they have an analytics department. I don't know if they think that this is like, you know, you're just turning your PlayStation on and playing NHL and saying, ooh, let me just do this and we'll be fine. Or playing franchise hockey manager and plugging things in. I don't know what's going on over there. But this is not a good look for the Golden Knights. And like I said, if they keep this up, they're going to be a team where not a lot of players want to go just for that reason.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And part of me thinks that you only make a move like this and dump this type of salary if you're going for something bigger. And I can't help but think that Vegas is trying to gun for Jack Eichel right now. I can't help but think that they are trying to either sign something big or trade for something big. And in this case, I think they're trying to trade for something big. You know,
could they be trying to pull the rug out from their rival's feet and bring Landeskog in too? That's another thing that popped in my mind earlier.
That could also be a potential fit as well. That's another thing to think about in Landeskog. Little preview for our free agency preview. You know, that's coming up in a couple seconds. But yeah, they could be prepping for something big, whether it's a big signing or a big trade. You know, I don't know what to think here. They could be prepping for Jack Eichel. They're going to have to pay an arm and a leg to get it. It definitely means that they're giving up their first round pick for this upcoming year if they do it, as well as some other prime pieces as well, you know, and NHL ready pieces such as maybe Alex Tuch. But, you know, if you're Vegas, nothing's outlandish. You know, everything is basically an EA franchise for them. They're basically playing EA Sports NHL right now.
They're basically being ran like all the soccer teams over in Europe. I'm talking about the big clubs like your Real Madrid's, your Manchester United's, your Bayern Munich. Those clubs have the money and they just throw it at whoever they want. And I think that's what Vegas is doing. Obviously, there's a cap, but like I said, I don't know how much success that's going
to
bring them.
Yeah, pretty much. It's left to be seen, but this is not right for Marc-Andre Fleury. I think he deserves a lot more, especially being a Vezina Trophy winner, first off, but then also a future Hall of Famer, most importantly. This is not the way that you show respect to a guy that has been the face of your franchise since your inception. This is a black mark on the Vegas Golden Knights for sure, in my mind. Moving right along to some free agency talk. We're going to preview the upcoming free agency period. We got some interesting names that are going to be out there starting at noon tomorrow, because that's when free agency opens up, noon on Wednesday tomorrow. And we've already seen a couple guys jump off the board. I'll just read off a couple of the agreements right now. The first three are Seattle, just because they signed them prior to the expansion draft. Jimmy Oleksiak, 5 years with a $4.6 million average per year. Adam Larson, also to Seattle on a 4x4 deal, meaning 4 years for $4 million per year. Chris Drager, also to Seattle on a 3-year, $3.5 million per year contract. And then just today confirmed, Keith Yandel will be leaving the Florida Panthers for the Philadelphia Flyers for a 1-year, $900,000 deal. That also comes with a no-trade clause. And for Keith Yandel, this is also reuniting him with Elaine Vigneault, the current head coach of the Philadelphia Flyers. Philadelphia trying as hard as they can to shore up the defense in front of Carter Hart. And at this point, it almost feels like desperation. But we have some interesting names that are going to be floating out there as of tomorrow. Some interesting names in my mind that everybody should look out for. Ryan Getzlaf, just simply because, he is an older free agent. He's 36 years old, but he's been on Anaheim since he was drafted. So I'd be really curious to see if Anaheim doesn't get something done, where he ends up going. Zach Parise and Ryan Suter, who were recently bought out by Minnesota. Other names to look out for, as we alluded to before, Gabriel Ladiskong. Probably the best defensive free agent right now is Dougie Hamilton. We'll talk about that in a second. Other UFAs that are interesting in my mind, David Krejci from Boston. Tuukka Rask, just to see if he actually signs anywhere else or if he just decides to retire. Brandon Saad, who comes from Colorado. Other names that jump out on this list for me. Travis Zajac, Thomas Tatar, not a lot. Tony DeAngelo is also a name, unfortunately, that jumps out of my mind for all the wrong reasons.
He actually agreed to go down to Carolina before. He's going down there in a 1-year deal.
Terrible move. Anyway, another name that jumps out to me here is also Kyle Palmieri as well. David Savard is also a name to watch out for, as well as Braden Holtby, who was recently bought out today. Mike Hoffman, who might be re-signing in St. Louis, but we will have to see. And Brandon Montour is another name that jumps out to me. I'm literally just going down the list. Ryan Dzingel, Philip Grubauer. You know, there's a bunch of names out there right now, prime for the picking at the moment. Who do you think stands out in your mind as probably the most interesting free agency target right now, Tom?
I have to say Landeskog, just because he's the captain of the Avs. He's been a big part of that team, big part of their first line, and the potential for Vegas to come in and take him away from their rivals, you know, is very enticing. It is very enticing because that's where I think he may wind up.
Vegas
A lot of Ranger fans are screaming for him, but he's a left winger. We have left wingers. We don't need him.
I don't see Landeskog signing in New York or even on the East Coast for that matter. He's been on the West Coast his entire career. I don't think he's looking to jump ship to the East Coast. I think he's used to the West Coast style of play. I think Vegas could be a really, really good spot for Landeskog. I think he's also very, desensitized by the entire situation in Colorado with the fact that they have not shown him any respect trying to get him re-signed, even though he's been the captain of the team for a long time now. I don't like this move by Colorado if they're really moving on from him. I know you've got to fit Alex Newhook, but there are more creative ways you can do that. There are better ways that you can do that. I just don't like this move by Colorado if, in fact, they do move on from Ladiskog. But at the moment, it does seem like that is the case. Another big free agency target is Dougie Hamilton, a right-handed defenseman from Carolina. And it looks like, especially based on the Tony DeAngelo signing today, I think it's safe to assume he's going to be moving on from Carolina. And put your tinfoil hats on right now, Devils fans, because he just bought a house in Central Jersey. So it'll be interesting to see. The general manager of the New Jersey Devils, Tom Fitzgerald, sent a personalized video to Dougie Hamilton and his camp, basically pitching the New Jersey Devils to him and really making a strong push for him. I think he would be a very good match for the New Jersey Devils. If you think about that right-hand side, projecting it for next year as it would be if he signs in New Jersey next year, you would have Dougie Hamilton as your line one right defenseman. Then on your second line at right defenseman, line two, Damon Severson, who Devils fans need to stop scapegoating, because if you look at the advanced analytics, he was actually better than Victor Hedman this year in terms of wins above replacement. Go and educate yourself at some point. Damon Severson is very, very difficult to replace. And he's not just a pylon. He's actually one of the better defensemen in the entire league. Believe me on that one, and that's my hill to die on. And then your third defenseman as of right now is PK Subban. So 1, 2, and 3 up the middle on the right-hand side is solid for the Devils. Really, really, really solid. And if that ends up happening, we'll see. He could command a very large contract, so it'll be interesting to see what happens for Dougie Hamilton. Another target that is interesting in my mind is Kyle Palmieri, who could end up being a really, really good signing for a team that's looking for a good winger on a budget, because I don't think he's going to command more than $4.5 or $5 million per year. I just don't know if I see that based on the year that he just had. Tom, any other targets in your mind stick out?
I'm trying to see here. I know Parise and Suter are still up there, and I know that there. I know Lou Lamoriello is very high on bringing them to Long Island, which I would hate to see Suter go there. Yeah. Although I'm hearing Suter is very interested in going down to Dallas to play. They're saying Dallas is showing strong interest in him. So curious to see what happens with that. I'm wondering if he may want to stay. I mean, I don't know if you want to consider Dallas the Midwest, but say in the middle part of the country where he's pretty much always been, you know. Be interesting just to see that. Go back to the South sort of with Dallas.
The other interesting free agent that sticks out in my mind as a, you know, could be really good on a budget, Blake Coleman, who could play a very good top nine role, has won the Stanley Cup 2 years in a row with the Tampa Bay Lightning, and the Tampa Bay will not be able to afford him. He's going to command probably about $4 million per year, and he's going to look to sign semi-long-term. I could see him signing on a 4x4 type of deal like Adam Larson did, but if you're getting him for your second or your third line and penalty-killing minutes, you're not going to be disappointed, because he is a fantastic penalty killer and a fantastic NHL player in general. Highlight reel goals. You got to look him up. He's really, really awesome.
Makes me wonder if Toronto would go after Coleman, because they're going to probably lose Foligno. Makes me wonder with that. And as far as Palmieri's concerned, if Colorado does lose Landeskog, could Colorado go after him as sort of a replacement?
Yeah. The only other interesting one to me is Zach Hyman, and it seems like Zach Hyman is signing in Edmonton on a really terrible deal for Edmonton, but we'll talk about that more next week when we react to some of the free agency signings that we'll see. I'm going to be retweeting a bunch of things tomorrow, so be on the lookout for that on Twitter. But before we go and do our question of the week, happy anniversary to us. Tom, it's been a year since we've been doing this, bro. Somebody made a mistake and let us keep going with this.
Exactly, right?
Bad decisions. Nah, in all seriousness. So I thought it would be really, really awesome to kind of talk to you guys about this, just because I'm currently broadcasting in the same room that I was broadcasting in on my very first episode. And it really kind of feels like full circle in this regard. And guys, I'm just grateful that I'm able to do this on a weekly basis for you guys. We haven't stopped since the very first week that we started doing this. We have been going hard all since, and we've been getting better and better and better each and every single week. I have, you know, I've had a ton of fun doing this, and this has been great. And I look forward to doing this as long as I possibly can. Tom, what are your thoughts?
No, we've had a good year together. It's definitely been a interesting time in the world of hockey and in the sport. You know, last year we were talking about playoffs in a bubble. We covered a season this year, which was only within divisional play. We've gotten to see yet another U.S. World Junior Championship. I went on one of the most epic rants I ever went on the day JD and Gorton got fired. We've also seen a team win consecutive Stanley Cups since we started, which is weird enough. Within the last year, we've seen a team win the Stanley Cup two times in a row within the last 365 days.
Yeah, it's
that less than that.
We could not have picked a more messed up year to start.
Exactly.
In a lot of ways, we could not have picked a more messed up year. But
we've seen a team win the cup two times in a row. They won their first cup in October and their second cup in July. If you were to tell me that 2 years ago, I would have said, "Are you out of your mind? What world are you living in?"
Yeah, I think the coolest thing to me though has been able to interact with all the different people that comment on a week to week basis. The people I've gotten to know from that. And for those that have, expressed their thoughts to us, thank you for that. We always love, the different thoughts that we get. And we look forward to even more of your feedback over the course of these, next year, next 2 years, however long we're doing this, because we want to be doing this for as long as we possibly can. And we hope we grow even more from this and, become, better hockey broadcasters in general from this. So happy anniversary to us here at I-80 Sports, and hopefully even more to come. But it has been a wild year, to say the least. And hopefully this year is not as crazy as this past year in terms of, topsy-turvy schedules. But we have so much planned over the course of this next year. So hopefully you guys stick around and check out all of our content to come. But, of course, before we leave you today, it's time for our question of the week, as we always do. And our question of the week this week is, what could be the most surprising move we'll see when free agency opens up tomorrow? Tom, what's your thought here?
I don't know if it's surprising because I've said it three times already today, but it just would be crazy if Vegas went in and signed Landeskog. My reasoning behind it is I'm not 100% sure they're going to get Eichel. I really think Minnesota's very, very high on him, and I think the reason being is just because – in their minds, I think if they bring Eichel in, it will keep Kaprizov in Minnesota and not let him go back to Russia.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I think probably the craziest thing that could happen is not necessarily a free agency signing, but I actually think the crazy thing that could happen is finally Vladimir Tarasenko moving. Because hasn't been a lot of talk about that. But if St. Louis is serious about re-signing Mike Hoffman, the first thing they have to do is trade Vladimir Tarasenko,
yes,
which could be a kind of crazy thing if it in fact happens. Now, I haven't heard any rumblings in terms of where he could go. There have been teams that have been tied to Tarasenko as a potential landing spot. Philadelphia has been one. Mm-hmm. New Jersey has been another. And I don't know. Vegas, I don't think, has him on their radar, but it would be a really interesting move if they did. But I don't think that's why they dumped Marc-Andre Fleury, for that type of cap space. I think it could be, for Tom's thought, I think it could be to try to get Gabriel Landeskog. But we're going to have to see. But as always, guys, what do you guys think? What do you think about our question of the week? What do you also think about the draft as well as free agency coming up? What are your thoughts? And if you have congratulations messages for us for our 1 year, we'd love to hear them. And as always, guys, you can check us out at the following places. You can check us out at i80sports.com and check out not only our NHL content, but you can also check out our NFL, MLS, NCAA football, and NBA content. And while you're there, hit up our shop. Make sure you get yourself a t-shirt. You can get yourself a t-shirt as low as $8 and beat the heat this summertime. And check us out on our Twitter at @i80_sportsNHL. The road to 1,000 is still on. We'd love for you guys to hop on if you're not hopped on already. And for those that are already following, thank you guys so much, because your support means a lot to us. But guys, free agency opens up in less than 24 hours. Let the craziness begin. And next week, we're going to be coming at you with all of what has happened over the course of these past few days. So you don't want to miss that. But for now, we're going to get out of here. But I'm Brian. He's Tom. It's been a year of I-80 Sports and even more to come. So you guys got to make sure you check us out. But as per usual, guys, thank you for checking us out here at I-80 Sports.